Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Gidivardhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Gidivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Gidivardhari. Jana Vallabha Gidivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Prabhupada ki jai, Gantarar Shima Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you. Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Narayanam namaskritam naram chaivam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam adhiraye shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hirdyantasto hyabhajani vidhunoti suhitsatam mastaprayeshyabhajeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 22. Sa esha jivan kalu sampareto. Vartete yo tyanta nishamsitena. Dehe mute tam manuja sapanti. Ganta tamondam tanunani no juvam. Sa esha jivan kalusam pareto. Vartete yo tyanta nirsamsitena. Dehe mrte tam manuja sapanti. Ganta tamontam tanumani no dhruvam. Sa esha jivan kalu sampareto. Vartete yo tyanta nirsamsitena. Dehe mrte tam manuja sapanti. Ganta tamontam tanumani no dhruvam. Esha jivan kalu sampareto. Vartete yo santa nisamsitena. Dehe mrte tam manuja sapanti. Yanta tamontam tanumani no dhruvam. Sa esha jivan kalu sampareto. Vartete yo tyanta nirsamsitena. Dehe mrte tam manuja sapanti. Ganta tamontam tanumani no dhruvam. Sa esha jivan kalu sampareto. Vartete yo tyanta nirsamsitena. Dehe mrte tam manuja sapanti. Ganta tamonda tanunani no dhruvam. Word for word. Saha. He. Esha, that jealous person. Jivan, while living. Kalu, even. Samparita, is dead. Varteta, continues to live. Yaha, anyone who. Atyanta, very much. Nirsamsitena, by executing cruel activities. Dehe, when the body. Mrte, is finished. Tam, him. Manuja, all human beings. Sapanti, condemn. Ganta, He will go. Tama andham to hellish life. Tanumanina of a person in the bodily concept of life. Dhruvam, without a doubt. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. A person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while alive. For while he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person in the bodily concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andhatama. Purport. Kamsa considered that if he killed his sister while living, he would be condemned by everyone, and after death, he would go to the darkest region of hellish life because of his cruelty. It is said that a cruel person, like a butcher, is advised not to live and not to die. While living, a cruel person creates a hellish condition for his next birth, and therefore he should not live, but he is also advised not to die, because after death, he must go to the darkest region of hell. Thus, in either circumstance, he is condemned. Kamsa, therefore, having good sense about the science of the soul's transmigration, deliberately refrained from killing Devaki. In this verse, the word Ganta Tamondam Tanumanina Dhruvam are very important and require extensive understanding. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Vaishnava Toshinitika, says, Tatcha Tanumanina Papina Iti Dehatma Buddhyaiva Papabhinivesho Bhavati. One who lives in the bodily concept, thinking, I am this body, involves himself by the very nature of this conception in a life of sinful activities. Anyone living in such a conception is to be considered a candidate for hell. Adhanta gobir vishatam tamishram puna punas charvita charvananam. Bhagavatam 7:5:30. One who is in a bodily concept of life has no control over sense gratification. Such a person can do anything sinful, to eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy a life of sense gratification, not knowing of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. Such a person does whatever he likes, whatever he imagines, and therefore, being subject to the laws of nature, he suffers miserably again and again in different material bodies. Yavat kriyas tavat idam manovai karmatmakam yena sarira bandha. Bhagavatam 5:5:5. In the bodily concept of life, a person is karmanubandha, or conditioned by karma. And as long as the mind is absorbed in karma, one must accept a material body. Sarira bandha, bondage to the material body, is a source of misery, kleshada. Nasadu manye yata atmanoyam, asan api kleshada asadeha. Although the body is temporary, it always gives one trouble in many ways. But human civilization is now unfortunately based on tanumani, the bodily concept of life, by which one thinks, I belong to this nation, I belong to this group, I belong to that group, and so on. Each of us has his own ideas, and we are becoming increasingly involved, individually, socially, communally, and nationally, in the complexities of karmanubandha, sinful activities. For the maintenance of the body, men are killing so many other bodies and becoming implicated in karmanubandha. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says that Tanumani, those in the bodily concept of life, are papi, sinful persons. For such sinful persons, the ultimate destination is the darkest region of hellish life, Ganta Tamondam. In particular, a person who wants to maintain his body by killing animals is most sinful and cannot understand the value of spiritual life. In Bhagavad Gita 16:19-20, the Lord says, Tan aham vishita kuran samsareshu naradhamam kshipam yajasham asubham asurishveva yonishu asurim yonim apana mudha janmani janmani mam aprapyeva konteya tato yantya damam gatim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life, attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life. Such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. End of purport, or end of quote. A human being is meant to understand the value of human life, which is a boon obtained after many, many births. Therefore, one must free oneself from tanumani, the bodily concept of life, and realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a long purport. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Romapada Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswata Deva Gauravani Pachayane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatya Deshatayane Panchakalpatribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyebhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Rama Rama Hare Hare. So this is a heavy verse and purport. We can discuss this morning about the bodily concept of life and how that leads to hellish condition automatically. As Srila Prabhupada in the purport quotes Srila Jiva Goswami in saying that automatically, if one's on the bodily concept of life, thinking oneself the body rather than the soul, automatically it's one becomes implicated in activities that send one down to the hellish condition of life. Basically, the next verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport from the Bhagavatam 7:5:30 is that basically, on the bodily concept of life, you're willing to do anything for your personal enjoyment and to protect your family and all these things, and you have to because the material world's a place of competition, survival of the fittest is the term, scientific term. But since this is there in the material platform, there's always implications just for our mere survival on the material platform, or we have to cause harm to other living entities just for our own survival. So simply by being on the bodily concept of life, this purport's describing one becomes engaged in this karmanubandha, sinful activities. So this verse is Kamsa's thinking. The previous verse, it starts out with Kamsa thought, what is my duty? The Supreme Lord, who knows his purpose, will not give up his prowess. Devaki is a woman, she is my shelter, and moreover, she is now pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. And now he's saying, The next part of it is, a person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living. For while he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person in the bodily concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andhatama. So this is within Kamsa's mind. he's contemplating this, how if you act so cruelly as he is planning to do out of fear of Krishna in the womb of Devaki, he's saying, I might as well be dead as to be so cruel even while living or after his death, everyone condemns a person who is so cruel. So this is the contemplation of Kamsa, as Nityananda Pran Prabhu nicely explained, that he goes back and forth a lot because he's part of the Vedic culture. He has some understanding of the spiritual platform, but he goes back and forth because he's influenced by the bodily concept of life and material desires. So he can't decide what to do. When sometimes he gets some insight like this, and he's like, "Oh, probably shouldn't be doing this." But then he goes back to his ministers, and they say, "What are you thinking? You should kill all the kids, do all these horrible things." So he's in bad association. He's getting bad guidance from his ministers, and he goes back and forth between these insights of reality and being dragged by his desires on the bodily concept of life. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how the connection between the main point and the purport, the connection between being on the bodily concept of life and going down towards the hellish life, that connection. I was thinking about it, like identifying with the body is more than just like identifying with the gross, like material elements, but there's like subtle attachments with our body. Like the body I received, I was born into a family, tradition, you can say, in that family, and to identify within that family is identifying with the body, but it's more than just like this one body. There's a whole mindset, there's a whole framework, a cultural framework and family attachment, family identity that goes along with the body that you're born in. And so within that family identity, there's a whole tradition of activities that one gets raised in, and one thinks that this is who I am. So I'm an Irish American mix, born in the 1990s, and you know, I'm destined to have this type of job, this type of facilities for enjoyment, and these types of activities, a lot of drinking alcohol and having wife and kids and eating the same things that my family ate. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, you stop identifying with this tradition and this culture that you grew up in, which is the greatest blessing, because you don't realize this whole tradition and culture that we've been a part of is implicating us into activities that are definitely leading to reactions that are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the concept of I am this person is more subtle than just like this body. It's, I am this person, I'm a part of this culture and this type of mindset, and these types of activities make up who I am. So Kamsa is identifying himself as a very powerful king, and so he gets confused in this identity and is willing to do all sorts of activities just for his enjoyment in this, on this concept of life. So the process to get out of this concept of life is the process of yoga, and specifically Krishna consciousness. I want to speak from a section also, the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev, that brings up this point nicely. One second. Yeah, it speaks about the human form of life. So, this human form of life is specifically meant for us to get out of the bodily concept of life. And so I'm going to read a little bit from that. So, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 1. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, "My dear sons, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, and which continues forever. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger, and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas." So that's the solution, the association of great souls. It's really the only way we can have the strength to overcome the bodily concept of life and the desires that come along with our bodily concept of life. I have the experience of serving my spiritual master, and it's really the only thing that keeps me from being controlled by my mind and my body and my conditioning. It's such a powerful thing getting the association of these saintly persons that are in our movement. You know, they've been serving Krishna every day, all day, for 40, 50 years. They got the association of Srila Prabhupada, and they've just surrendered their whole lives to the movement. Just like the verse is explaining, this is what a Mahatma is. They're not interested in anything else, any material activities, and such a great fortune to have the association of people who are on this platform of existence. It seems when they walk in the room and or wherever we're at, they seem like they have bodies, and and they're just like almost ordinary people, but it's hard to fully understand the great fortune when we're in their association, how much we're benefiting from their association and from serving them. It's really the spiritual masters, like you know, the boat that carries us, the captain of the ship, and guiding us back to this the real existence, spiritual life, which is beyond all suffering. They're taking us out of from all this difficulty, and so it's not from the external viewpoint. We can't see exactly where these Mahatmas are at exactly, just from our senses and our minds and kind of contemplating, you know, how much they've done, or internally their consciousness is in a different place. They're not controlled by the material hankerings, and to get association of someone like that is extremely powerful and life-changing. So that's ultimately the solution of getting out of the bodily concept of life. So I can read a little bit more about it. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increase their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders. Nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the executions of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He who does not know that due to his past misdeeds he has already received the body, which, although temporary, is the cause of misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. So, that's a interesting point, that the material body, you get a material body specifically for sense gratification. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it's like the body is like a machine, and the living entities are within the machine, and the machine that we're in is meant specifically for gratifying the senses, for material enjoyment. And so if we are controlled by the mind and senses of the body, it'll lead us, it'll force us into this state of material sense pleasure. That's what the machine does. That's the way it's programmed to go to. So the opposite of this program is becoming a Goswami. That's what Go means the senses, and Swami means the master of the senses. So, to regain control of our mind and body is what it means to become a Goswami. Instructed, the first instruction by Srila Rupa Goswami is to control these urges of the mind, the body, the tongue, the stomach, the genitals. All these things have to be controlled. We don't get pulled by these forces. And the Bhagavad Gita is described that this is only done if you have a higher taste. You gain a higher happiness. This is the difference between our process and Ashtanga Yoga. Is that Ashtanga Yoga, they mechanically control their mind and senses. They sit in, it's the process of mechanically forcing yourself to sit in one place and controlling your mind, controlling where you look. And it's something that has to be done in the forest, away from all sense objects. So you completely cleanse yourself and control your mind and senses based on your own power. But bhakti is different. You engage everything in the service of Krishna. So we get to see the deities and see the devotees and take prasadam. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of the Bhagavad Gita, which I really like, is that we still get to enjoy life. But we start to enjoy life with Krishna rather than enjoy life away from Krishna in the perverted form of enjoyment. Whereas the mechanical aspect of controlling the senses, there's no enjoyment. No enjoyment at all. It's very, very austere and challenging. Yeah, this is our situation. We're getting to associate with Mahatmas. We're getting to... there's two ways of associating with the devotees, the physical association and the instructions. So we also get to associate with the previous acharyas, like Srila Rupa Goswami, through his books, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion especially. that's the process. I've been having this realization of this point of bhakti being a descending process lately. One of my main meditations is that sometimes I my mind just keeps wandering or keeps running on like what I should be doing, how I should be doing it, trying to fix all the problems in our institution or in our temple or within my life, trying to fix problems within my life. And spending so much time thinking, all these details, all these problems, ideas. But these aren't this thinking isn't the five most potent forms of devotional service. And especially in the beginning, I find what we really need is to hear, to keep hearing. If I spend an hour or 2 hours thinking about something that's like maybe relevant in some degree, but compared to spending 2 hours reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe I'll have some good idea about something. But if I don't get this 2 hours of hearing directly, this transcendental sound vibration, as a new devotee, my thinking is going to be way less effective. If I don't get the transcendental sound vibration of hearing, it's unlikely that I'll be able to do anything significant. I find that this is the hearing is not something that requires my material effort necessarily. It's not something that depends on my scholarship or education. It's a spiritual process of descending mercy. Srila Prabhupada's instructions and association, just by simply soaking in his association through his books, completely changes our consciousness. Even if we aren't able to put it all together right away, if we just put our eyes on the words and put our mind into the words, connect the words and just watch the words, describing just the reading process, just read the books, it's amazing. I'm finding it's a descending process. It doesn't depend on our skills or our qualification. It's the association of spiritual sound vibration. So that's one main thing I've been meditating on lately. 8:17. You have a question? You can see. Okay.
Thanks for the class, Kiriari. It's not a question exactly. It's kind of a realization I had throughout the years that one of the fears we have is to be fearful. When we're fearful, we cannot move on into a next level in our progress. But when we overcome that fear, one of the things that we have to be fearful is of power. Because when we overcome that fearfulness, we become powerful. We get our lives by the reins, and we start. And if we don't have all what you have said, is the breaking point. No, we become kamsa. No, we get attached to our bodies and to all what that entails. The building of character and our determination is based on that power, measured power, humble power, that our association and reading and chanting have the effect on us. Is all what I have to say. But yeah, just commenting on your realization.
Yeah, the only way to counteract is to always keep ourselves below our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, always present ourselves as a useless fellow before our spiritual master. Yeah, that's the process. Do you have? Yeah, I was gonna just read this description of the hellish planets. Does anybody want to hear that? This is describing, the verse was describing how someone who is acting in this platform goes to this hellish planets, and then the Bhagavatam, it explains exactly what those hellish planets are, which is quite informative. I can read a little bit of it. In the 5:26 text 4, King Parikshit inquired from Sukadev Goswami, "My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different places in this planet?" Next text, the great sage Sukadev Goswami answered, "All the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhodaka ocean. They lie on the southern side of the universe, beneath Bhumandala and slightly above the water of the Garbhodaka ocean. Pitraloka is also located in this region between the Garbhodaka ocean and the lower planetary systems. All the residents of Pitraloka, headed by Agnisvata, meditate in great samadhi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always wish their families well." So that's an interesting verse. Where the hellish planets are at is right below Pitraloka, in between the lower subterranean heavenly planets and the Garbhodaka ocean. So the king of the Pittas is Yamaraj, the very powerful son of the sun god. He resides in Pitraloka with his personal assistants, and while abiding by the rules and regulations set down by the Supreme Lord, has his agents, the Yamadutas, bring all the sinful men to him immediately upon their death. After bringing them within his jurisdiction, he properly judges them according to their specific sinful activities and sends them to the one of the many hellish planets for suitable punishments. Some authorities say that there is a total of 21 hellish planets, and some say 28. That's not so many. 21, 28. I thought it would be like thousands or something, but... My dear King, I shall outline all of them according to their names, forms, and symptoms. The names of the different hells are as follows. Tamishra, Andatamishra, Rorava, Maharorava, Kumbhipaka, Kalashutra, Asipatravana, Sukaramuka, Andakopa, Krimi Bhojana, Sandamsa, Tapta Surmi, Vajra Kantaka, Salmali, Vaitarani, Puyoda, Pranaroda, Vishasana, Lala Bhaksha, Sarameyadana, Avichi, Ayapana, Kshara Kardama, Rakshogana Bhojana, Suloprota, Dandashuka, Avata Nirodana, Parya Vartana, and Suchi Mukha. All these planets are meant for punishing the living entities. You guys want to hear this or no? I'll read a little bit of it and then we can end. My dear King, a person who appropriates another's legitimate wife, children, or money is arrested at the time of death by the fierce Yamadutas, who bind him with the rope of time and first forcibly throw him into the hellish planet known as Tamishra. On this very dark planet, the sinful man is chastised by the Yamadutas, who beat and rebuke him. He is starved, and he is given no water to drink. Thus the wrathful assistance of Yamaraj cause him severe suffering, and sometimes he faints from their chastisement. The designations of a person who slyly cheats another man and enjoys his wife and children is the hell known as Andatamishra. There his condition is exactly like that of a tree being chopped at its roots. Even before reaching Andatamishra, the sinful living being is subjected to various extreme miseries. These afflictions are so severe that he loses his intelligence and sight. It is for this reason that learned sages call this hell Andatamishra. A person who accepts his body as his self works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death, when he suffers the reactions for his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell called Rorava. In this life, an envious person commits sinful violent acts against many living entities. Thereafter, after his death, when he is taken to the hell by Yamaraj, those living entities who are hurt by him appear as animals called Rurus to inflict severe pain upon him. Learned scholars call this hell Rorava. Not generally seen in this world, the Ruru is more envious than a snake. Alright, that's just a brief brief preview. I just wanted to share a little bit of that, because the purport speaking about this, just by simply being on the body, a concept of life, as the last one said, we're forced to these positions. And this is the message of the Bhagavatam. So it's a very nice reminder to stay serious about Krishna consciousness and to remain grateful for what we've received, and to stick it out at all costs, and stay in the association of devotees, and keep chanting, keep hearing, keep doing service.
The next verse, I guess she sang.
Okay. Okay, I'm also going to read 23. I was supposed to read that at the beginning, so it goes together with it. So Shukadev Goswami said, deliberating in this way, Kamsa, although determined to continue in enmity toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, refrained from the vicious killing of his sister. He decided to wait until the Lord was born and then do what was needed. So Kamsa decided not to kill his sister Devaki while she was pregnant because of this contemplation. He must have read the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. He knew what was coming to him.
All right. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Very inspiring class, especially the last part about the hellish planets. Good warning, but I try to avoid those chapters for obvious reasons. But I look for the mercy verses. But no, you made some really nice points. And one of the points I really appreciated, you were mentioning that I always have thoughts of fits in the institution, fits in my family, fits in this, and the mind is always talking to me. You were describing we should do more hearing, more hearing. And I'll speak for myself. I like to write and read, but I do need to do more hearing because that's more beneficial. Because there's a quote somebody said that I really appreciate. That says, there's two types of preaching. We can preach to the mind, or we can allow the mind to preach to us. As soon as we start preaching the mind starts preaching us. And one preaching is on the mind. It's like this verse mentioned is the bodily concept of life, how to maintain this concept. You were mentioning a higher taste too. So one thing that prevents us from being devoted to the higher taste, there's many verses that says what the higher taste is. Krishna says, Yogi namapi sarvesham agatin arta amanam shradavam bhajate yo mam same yutatamo mataha. The higher taste means just to think of Krishna all the time. Unfortunately, we're under the bodily concept of life, so what do we think of all the time? Control and respect, and that comes from the bodily concept of life. My original point was going to mention when I was 5 years old, somebody stuck their middle finger out at me, and I didn't know what it meant, so I was peaceful. I wasn't thinking about getting revenge. I wasn't thinking about plotting against them, doing something. And we can see that parents, when they train their children, they train them with these upadis, these false deadings, like, you're a woman. And then, okay, I'm a woman. And so then when somebody in society says something negative about a woman, the child says, what does that mean? It means something negative, so you should be depressed. You should seek revenge. Or like Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada told Bhaktivedanta Swami, you have these false designations, and so that's why you're upset when people mistreat you, because you think you're the body. Sarvapadi virnimuttam taparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhatir uchate. When we have these upadis, designations, then we'll definitely commit demoniac activities by seeking revenge, being envious of others. We can see that so many aspects of life. But so if I was to ask a question, it's practically impossible to give up these upadis, because especially our name, like your name is Giridhari now, before it was Jordan. And if you heard some rumor, even if somebody was talking about Michael Jordan, you turn around, Jordan, what did you say about me? It's like a tattoo. These upadis are like ingrained in us, and they're practically impossible to give up. And so when somebody mistreats you, or it's practically impossible to have good feelings about them. You may say, yes, I respect you, but it's practically, you identify with this body, you identify with your name, you identify with your culture. If somebody mistreats you, it's practically impossible to have the disposition of pralad. Yes, I wish you well. So what are some steps we could do that? We don't think about Krishna. We only think about Krishna when things go our way. And so there's so many, traps that we're thinking about envy. So what are some steps we can move forward? Or we just have to cry to Krishna? Is that the conclusion? Please help me. I'm really messed up.
We simply have to get absorbed in the process of bhakti. Simply have to get absorbed in the hearing process and the serving, hearing and chanting and serving. Just the more we take on that, these activities, the more that takes over as our identity. The more we identify ourselves as a servant of our spiritual master, as a servant of Srila Prabhupada, this becomes our identity of who we are. That's the purpose of initiation, giving us a new name, but then we have to continue developing this identity. So I think sometimes we're afraid of recreating an identity within ISKCON. or within our movement, because we're hesitant to, maybe for good reason also, you don't want to just create another false ego within the process of bhakti. But at the same time, we can't have no identity. We have to identify ourselves with something, otherwise we're lost. So we have to identify ourselves as servants of this institution, servants of Krishna, ultimately. But practically, we can, on the level that's understandable, servants of our spiritual master and servants of the movement, and just get more and more absorbed. And it's the only way is replacing the identity. Otherwise, the other option is you go to the forest and you engage there in just meditation and just try to forget about everything. And that can happen in Satya Yuga after thousands of years. You can forget about everything. But so the whole process is absorbing ourselves in the different activities and identifying ourselves on the spiritual platform and just getting so filled with that that it cleanses out our previous identity, which causes all the problems. All right, thank you so much for your association, allowing me to speak. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol. My reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. And now he's saying, the next part of it is, a person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living, for while he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him, and after the death of a person in the bodily concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andhatama. So this is within Kamsa's mind.